The Old Testament reading is from Joshua, the 24th chapter, verses 1 to 2a and 14 through 18. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham, and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle comes from Ephesians in the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 21. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. John 6:51 through 69. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. For there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were, did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Whom do you choose to serve? Pretty easy question. We would probably answer it this way. The Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, but of one and the same divine essence, equal in power, equal in eternity, equal in majesty, because each person possesses the one divine essence entire. Of course, that's the theological definition of God. Most of us would probably say we simply serve God, who first loved us. Yet in our reading today, Joshua asks this question to the Israelites: whom do you choose to serve? Which might make you wonder, why is he asking this question? See, Joshua had just delivered the Israelites into the long, and I mean long-awaited promised land. This promise is given all the way back to Abraham when he'd become a great nation. And here they are, about ready to walk into their new home. 40 years of wandering through the desert, not always following God. And right before this reading, the Israelites almost walked away from the whole deal. They discovered that giants were living in this land and figured there's no way we're going to be able to conquer these people. But as we know, they marched around the walls, and the walls came tumbling down. You guys know that song, right? Joshua fought the Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. And now you'll have that song in your head the rest of the day. You're welcome. So yeah, they marched around the city, and the walls came down, and like Joshua stood there saying to each person or family, "You guys get a home, and you get a home, and you get a home." All they had to do was settle in and worship the one true God. End of story. Well, not necessarily. It's only the beginning. So Joshua's about to die, and he says to Israelites, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Probably seen these words that are often on a plaque in people's homes, and they're wonderful words and done very decoratively. And if you need to find some, I did look, and on Etsy there's quite a few signs you can buy if you'd like. But do you know why Joshua mentions this statement? If we look back into verse 15, Joshua says these words: "Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the rivers, or the gods of the Amorites, whose land you dwell." Meaning, hey, I know some of you are worshiping idols, and that's not good. The people respond, "You're right, we shouldn't be," especially since this breaks the first commandment. So they pledge, "Yes, we will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Now it's the end of the story. No, not really. As we know the history of Israel, they go in and out of God's favor, being conquered and taken into captivity and then released. fact, they even get mad at each other at one point and decide to split and start their own group. Sound familiar? So what is their problem? Well, we can find the answer, at least part of it, in Luther's large catechism on the first commandment. It states, having no other gods, a god is a term for that to which we are to look for all good and in which we are to find refuge in all need. Therefore, to have a god is nothing else than to trust and believe in the one that with your whole heart. Well, this is probably easier said and then done, and might explain the Israelites' problems, and maybe ours as well. If we look at these words, Jesus' words, you'll find why this is a problem. When we believe with our whole heart, it can create other issues. In Matthew 9:4, Jesus says this of the scribes that were watching him heal a paralytic. Why do you think evil in your hearts? So if our hearts, we think evil, well, we have a problem. You see, God wants all our heart, 100%. Is that possible? Did you know that most things that when they say they're 100% aren't really 100%? Pure 100% oils will often contain other elements in them. In fact, if you were to look at pure gold, but it's not necessarily pure, it's always 99.99%. You see, the metal's purity is measured in carats, and the golden rule, pun intended, is 24 carats, which is the ultra-pure level of 99.99%. And people in the know call this the four nines. The Royal Canadian Mint used to mint a five nines gold coin, which is considered to be unusual. And the purest gold ever produced was 99.99%, which is six nines. And that gold is claimed to be refined by the Perth Mint in 1957. So pure is not necessarily a measurement, but the character of quality. Yet this is what God required of the Israelites, and he requires of us, to be 100% his. We cannot come to God being only 99.99% sure we're entirely choosing him. So I'm telling you there's a chance that we'll regress not giving God 100%. In fact, we don't always follow his words. We lack the belief. As stated in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, the dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to the wallow in the mire. That doesn't sound very nice. If I had to pick, I'd rather be the 99.99% gold. At least I'm not doing something like a dog that's going back to its own vomit. But that's what sin does in our lives. If you listen to the rest of Luther's large catechism, he goes on to say this: if our faith and trust are right, then your God is the true one. Conversely, where your trust is false and wrong, there you do not have the true God. For these two belong together, faith and God. Anything on which your heart relies and depends, I say, that is really your God. If your faith and trust are right, then your God is the true one. So how strong is your faith? Do you fully trust God? And you might say that the Joshua's question of who you will choose, well, that could be a trick question. See, we're not in a position to choose. If so, we make our own God. And then we're no different than the Israelites, who brought some of their gods along with them into trying to enter the promised land. These gods were not like Yahweh, but rather little gods to help in different areas of one person's life. Maybe like a good luck charm, or some other sort of thing that enables them to get over anxiety by praying to it. See, these were idols where a person put faith in them instead of God. For God is a jealous God, and he wants only to be the God that we have our faith in, because he is the only God there is. But we all struggle with our own little gods. Perhaps when things get tough, we reach for something that brings us comfort. When our lives aren't going great, we watch something on a screen that takes our minds off of our own situation. Or maybe there's some other vice that we seek comfort in when we, quote, put our trust and faith in something other than God. Jesus knew our struggles with keeping our faith in God. One clue that helps us understand our lack of faith is when he gave the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, Jesus used the indicative tense of the verbs, meaning these were not commands, things that we try to do, but they're in the present tense, meaning they are happening. So when Jesus mentions in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," you can't make this happen to yourself. Jesus is not commanding you. Instead, it's something being done by someone else. As we have learned, we cannot have a pure heart. We can never do this on our own. But because of Jesus, we can and have 100%. And thanks be to Jesus, he chose us when we try our best to choose him but fail. Just as the Israelites gave it their best effort, even after Joshua gave them the command to choose to serve the Lord, Jesus made it possible for us to choose him. Joshua's last recorded words before he died to God's people were, "Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." This is a law command, something we try to do. Jesus' last words before he ascended to heaven were, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is a gospel command. This is something that Jesus does for us. Where Joshua and the rest of the Israelites failed, Jesus made it possible for the Israelites and for us. We bring along our idols and places in our lives where we put our trust in things of this world instead of 100% in God. But if we look to our gospel reading in John 6:68-69, we hear that Simon Peter recognizes in Jesus, and it's what is given to us as well. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus is the greater of Joshua. Jesus makes it possible for us to choose him. It is through him that we have faith. It is through him that God sees us as holy people, as to be without sin, and he sees Jesus in us. While Joshua brought people into God's promised land, where they would worship and live for God, Jesus has made a place for us in eternity where we'll be with him in a great house that's beyond our imagination. And this is a gift from God. There is something 100% pure. That is faith in Jesus that he gives to us to believe in him. We are 100% made pure and to be without sin. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Go in peace to serve the Lord.